welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And it's Wednesday at 10 o'clock. That means Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the docket. Hey, good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Earl. These are wild times. We have the White House actually denying that aliens are sending balloons over airspace. So who would have expected headlines like that or press conferences like that?
You know, Dr. Craig, and the fact that Joe Biden is being blamed for reacting too slowly to that, you know, nuclear-powered balloon that was flying over the country and gathering all of this information that Joe Biden that China is finding out about, you know, everything that goes on in our country. Let me ask
you. We used to have that you were weak on communism back in the Cold War. Now you're weak on balloons.
Let me ask you, Dr. Craig. I had a conversation with Maggie Dawn a little earlier, and I'm going to do it with you. The election is around the corner. And all joking aside, we can really transform and put the state back into a balanced situation where elections and are going to be treated fairly. The governor has certainly talked about automatic voter registration, making voting easing voting regulations and others. We know that's not going to happen because Republicans still kind of control those things. But this is the state Supreme Court race. Your thoughts?
Well, you're absolutely right, Earl. And if you think about it very fundamentally, there's a reason the United States was set up, and each state was set up with independent judiciaries. It's a critical part of democracy. You need independent courts to decide disputes over the law, right, and interpretations of the law. And that there's always going to be interpretive questions. You can't make a law specific enough to cover every incident. And by the way, history occurs. I mean, the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, the free speech part and the freedom of the press part, was written at a time when there was no radio, no television, no social media, not even a very effective, you know, mass distribution of newspapers. It took weeks for a newspaper to get to you over the old Pony Express kind of postal service. But the principle has to be applied to create to new technology. We've not amended the First Amendment. So courts, unlike what the right wing's idea is, they just interpret the original intent. We don't know what the what the original intent of James Madison was about Facebook, right, or Twitter. And we can't. It's silly. And by the way, they don't really mean original intent either, because the scholarship they do to determine it is junk, actually. If you talk to historians of any of the 18th and early 19th century, when the Constitution was formed and implemented at first, and when the people who framed it were still around to comment, it's junk history, and they're just fighting some rationale to impose dogma, doctrine, right-wing agenda under the cover of law. And so we don't have a full democracy in Wisconsin because we don't have fair legislative elections because of the way the maps are rigged, right? And because we have a court that is rigged. And it was rigged by the big money of the largest corporations in this state and nationally and in cahoots with the Republican Party. But they also, in the same conspiracy, deregulated campaign finance, defined money as speech, right? And so we have this god-awful way of deciding. This is going to be the most expensive court race, not only in Wisconsin history, but perhaps in American history. It's ridiculous. And the kind of ads that are run are going to be of the most sleazy, misleading, propagandistic time about who is the friend of criminals and child molesters, yeah, and rapists and murderers and everything else and rioters. But nonetheless, we have to win in this system in order to have a key part of democracy, a court that is actually an independent judiciary. So you take something, you mentioned voting, like voting rights. The right-wing court, every single voting issue, they decide that you have less rights. That's not what the law says fairly. That's their agenda. So, for example, they say that drop boxes are not authorized. Here's the question. Does everything you do to enable voting have to be authorized specifically in a statute that's been around a while? That is not necessarily a fair interpretation of the law, but let's face it, they're always going to find a more restrictive interpretation when it comes to voting rights, a less restrictive interpretation when it comes to something like corporate liability for the damage they do.
You know, Dr. Craig, I'm talking with people that I talk to almost on a daily basis outside of this radio station, and many are still not aware of the importance of this election. And even though all this money is being spent, Dr. Craig, you know, a ground game, which I don't think you ever do in a Supreme Court race.
We're doing it, but we have to. I agree with you all. We started our door canvas, and we're trying to get all of our members and our allies to volunteer. And that we're in five major regions of the state, including where you broadcast from, Earl. And a lot of it's convincing people that they have to be the leading actors here. They can't just sit on the couch and watch what's going on, or think if they gave their $25 to one of the candidates on email that they've done their bit. One of the reasons is the one thing that can actually educate voters and work through the propaganda on television is a deeper conversation at the door, and the doors are on the phone, what we call a deep canvas. We showed in the U.S. Senate race that 10% of people who were with Ron Johnson moved over to Manila Barnes if someone from their community had that kind of conversation with them. A deep canvas conversation on the door of the phone. So that is the best anecdote to the propaganda on their ways, which is mostly being funded, Earl, by billionaires and the largest corporations. I mean, one billionaire, Richard Elyne, is attempting to buy the race right now for former Justice Kelly. And, of course, fighting with the other right-wingers that want Judge Darrow.
You know, Dr. Craig, I was talking with corporate counsel Maggie Dawn earlier about the fact that you and I remember before Scott Walker and his band were able to totally take over politically the state of Wisconsin. We used to see things in a different manner. The state of Wisconsin was always talked about as clean government, one of the cleanest states that there was. But that seems so long ago, Dr. Craig. Maybe it was back when I was young enough to hit a baseball. But can we get back to that? I mean,
we have a really proud history, and they've befouled it, right?
Right.
When I moved to Wisconsin in 1989 to get my PhD, and I grew up in suburban Chicago, in Oak Park, Illinois, I always thought Wisconsin was the less corrupt state, the more progressive state, because it had been, and came to Wisconsin-Madison because of the incredible investments that we had made in the state from the beginning in higher education. And a medium-sized state, Wisconsin, had one of the top state universities in the world, right? Not only the country, but the world. They've disinvested in it. They've taken it over. They've trashed it. They've turned it into some kind of version of Tennessee or Alabama, right? And an extremely corrupt. So it's appalling what they've done. You know, Wisconsin invented a lot of the great milestone reforms of the 20th century: workers' compensation, unemployment insurance, really the experimentation that led to Social Security, right? And you know, we could recover that. In fact, there's still a lot of that kind of spirit in Wisconsin, but it's like we're two states. There's a red state and a blue state. They're evenly divided, and the red part just figured out how to rig it so they dominate everyone else.
You know, Dr. Craig, and the importance of this election and why people need to understand it is because we can begin to kind of turn around all of the negative things that have happened in this state with just this election, right? I mean,
you get a fair judiciary, Earl. That's a start, because we can never get anywhere if we have a politician, right-wing politicians in robes imposing their agenda no matter what, right?
Which is what we've had now for, you know, quite a while.
And then a real judiciary would look at the maps and not consider these Democratic. In fact, some Harvard professors at political science at the JFK School of Government have defined Wisconsin state legislature as an electoral autocracy, which is a political science term for a fake democracy like Hungary, where there are elections, but only one side can win, or Turkey, right, where they were democracies, but they've regressed into something else. And that's what we have. No matter if the Democrats could win 60% of the vote in the next state legislative elections, and the Republicans would still have a huge majority. That's not democracy. And a number of them can do things, majority of them, totally unpopular against public opinion, and they can still never lose their reelection. That's not democracy. This court would almost certainly, because there are cases still moving through the courts, reconsider the appalling maps that were imposed by the state Supreme Court and the rigged U.S. Supreme Court, gave them an assist just that we saw in the last election.
You know, Dr. Craig, you're using verbiage, rigged courts. And sometimes, you know, we as the American people, we don't understand what's meant by that. Now, if you'll clarify that when we come back from the break, we'd greatly appreciate it. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. We'll be right back.
Walk with me.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You could text us at that same number. And Calvin, I don't know if I heard that right. 5 to 10 inches of snow tomorrow.
That sounds crazy. I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, all right. Let's go back to Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So, Dr. Craig, when we talk about the rigged Supreme Court, the state and the national levels, I guess many of us, it's hard for us to imagine that of all places, the Supreme Court can be rigged. Let's talk about that.
Well, when the Constitution of Wisconsin was set up, and of course it's been amended over the years, and then of course the Progressive Era, the Bob La Follette Era, changed a lot of norms in this state. But the assumption was, if we had elected judges, they would represent the people, right?
Right.
And they would not represent special interests. That democracy would be the cleansing thing, and for decades and decades and decades, all court races, not just Supreme Court races, were pretty sleepy races where lawyers, mostly lawyers, gave their case for why they'd be the best judge, and people were elected often who were considered the wise people in the community, right? The people who could be fair, right? And listen to all sides. And, you know, elections became bigger and bigger money, but they were still pretty sleepy races with very little money in them, certainly not a whole ton of TV ads or anything like that. In the 90s, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce developed a strategy to take over state Supreme Courts. And their goal was the biggest corporation in this country didn't like the fact they were held liable when they injured people or when they polluted a lake to clean it up. The insurance companies didn't like that they might have to pay claims if they were sued.
Right.
And so the idea was, we're going to swamp these elections with money, big money, so that they will get courts that will be more favorable and will rule in the favor of corporations rather than average people. And they successfully did that. So when we talk about money in campaigns, we all think it's kind of corruption, right? Vaguely, but people just kind of roll with the punches. The people who are spending it, when it comes from big vested interests or from billionaires or very wealthy people, they want to get something out of a politician or of a judge. And so that's what I mean by rigging. They took it over and made it a right-wing court in a state that is not a right-wing state. It is a purple state, right, where Democrats and Republicans are both competitive. We've elected Democratic and Republican governors repeatedly in recent decades. And we've had Republicans and Democrats win presidential races or U.S. Senate races. And so it doesn't really represent the public, and they can have more influence than the public with their money, right? The money is speech problem suggests that some people should have much more speech than others because of the resources, and that's not the fundamental of our Constitution. So they rigged that. A rigging occurred at the U.S. Supreme Court level, where it used to be, Earl, that you didn't know how a judge, whether they were appointed by Democrat or Republican, how they perform, right? They didn't have these litmus tests.
Right.
And in fact, Earl Warren, who wrote and organized the Brown versus Board of Education opinion, he was a Republican appointee by President General Eisenhower, okay? And so it tells you that Eisenhower did not give him an ideological litmus test, right? But what the right has developed, and it really started with people like the attempt to appoint Robert Bork to the Supreme Court,
right?
They have developed a system where they have vetted and they have developed the judges that get appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, all Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, John Roberts, all come out of the Federalist Society structure. So they know how they'll rule. They're their people. That's not what judiciary is supposed to be. That distorts and befouls our Constitution, and it rigs it. And then Trump's coup de grace was when McConnell refused to let Obama make an appointment to the Supreme Court, flaunting the norms of two centuries, when it was nearly a year before the election. Never happened before. And then they violated that rule themselves when a justice died several weeks before the election. And so they stole two seats. And that's why we lost Roe versus Wade, for example, because those judges were vetted to make sure they would overrule Roe versus Wade. And they did what the Federalist Society and the GOP expected them to do. So that is not the judiciary any framer of state or federal constitutions intended.
So, you know, Dr. Craig, the more you hear those things, the more you start challenging it, whether or not our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and the things that we've held sacred, most of us, all of our lives, that this nation that we take pride in has been stolen itself. And so all of us, I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican, knowing that these things have taken place, Republicans should be outraged by that themselves. I'm talking about the citizenry, because the things that have happened in the wake of that, the regulations being lifted in many instances that impact and affect all of us, whether we're Democrats or Republicans, the people who are taking advantage of the government and getting the perks in the government aren't the citizens. And yet there's a group of far too many of us who maybe, Dr. Craig, don't understand the inner workings of it or have just given up on it. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on board. We'll be right back. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday, and Dr. Robert Craig is holding down the fort. Dr. Craig, so what do you, as you know, you look over the landscape of the political mechanisms on the state, and even on a national level. We always hear that all politics are local. And yeah, they are. But there's some stuff going on nationally that we should certainly be concerned about, too. And just the fact that Donald Trump is still a player, isn't that kind of amazing to you that a man, you know, of ill repute, can do what he's done and still be a factor in possibly becoming the president of the United States again? What happened, Dr. Craig? I mean, historians will be writing about this time, you know, like there never before was a time that a man like Donald Trump could single-handedly kind of turn our country inside out and upside down.
Yeah, I think it's part and parcel, Earl, of the same story we've been discussing in the first half of your show. You need to understand the corporate billionaire strategy and the Republican approach to holding power to understand how a Donald Trump can arise. I mean, how do you get people to support an agenda which is primarily on behalf of the wealthiest, ultra-rich, and the most greedy corporations, massive tax cuts for them, right, and no accountability or responsibility? Unless you can, the way you do it is you make your base hate the other side so badly through cultural divides, racial divides, various kinds of prejudice, like against LGBTQ people. That's how you do it. And so the reason that, so what they'd already developed, that's what the whole right-wing kind of development and investment in it since the 60s has built. And you saw it with the Newt Gingrich Congress, with the Tea Party, right? Well, and right. Saw it getting worse and worse well before Trump. And so what happened is once you've created that kind of public, you see it in Fox News. Fox News has helped create it and maintain it, right? Every night, if you're watching Tucker Carlson or watching Sean Hannity, that's what's going on, or Jesse Waters or Laura Ingraham, the other primetime host. That's what they're engaged in. And it's disinformation. It's based on lies. But a huckster like Donald Trump hijacked it from them. In other words, he came in and was better at it than they are, but they created the public. They created the Trump public. So they've had this dance where, okay, they don't really like him, the real insiders, your Mitch McConnells, right? They wish he'd go away. Every time he seems to have done something that would end any other political career, they even begin to put their heads out. And then when Trump still holds the base, they scurry back because they need that base. That's the basis of their power.
Right.
And right now we're in this kind of middle position where Trump has lost some prestige among the Republican base, but he holds so much of it still that he can destroy any other possible Republican candidate. And that's why you see Ron DeSantis wondering whether I should get into this and he may destroy my career, and why you have kind of a third-tier candidate like Nikki Haley announcing today, the former governor of South Carolina. And she's been all over the map. She was outraged by Trump. Then she said, then she found him highly qualified. Then she was outraged again. So we'll see what she is today.
You know, Dr. Craig, I don't, as an American who has focused on some political issues that impact and affect all of us, it frustrates me to no end to know that there are people who vote in this society, both on the Democrat and the Republican ticket, and really don't know the impact of what has happened to us. And that voting alone, even though we have to, it may not fix this. I mean, the depravity in what has transpired, Dr. Craig, over the last several decades has really made major inroads into whatever the nation touted as the best government in the nation, in the world. I have to question that, Dr. Craig. I live in this nation and I see its inner workings, and it just nauseates me to no end that we're not what we can be or what we should be. We still have the power, some believe, to turn this around. But when you talk about the money, I don't know how you overcome that.
I mean, you know, the King of England had money, right?
Right.
The Jim Crow South, the elite had money.
Right.
You need the kind of popular movement that could overcome it. And in fact, many, if we went to an authoritarian government, many authoritarian governments have been overthrown since it's been carefully studied since about 1900. And the movements that are the most effective are not the violent movements. They're pretty ineffective. It is nonviolent civil disobedience, and that actually makes it impossible, really divides an authoritarian state or a dictator's constituency and ultimately topples them. But it's also how you save it. So they had to, the people who created this country, the people who nurtured it with all of its faults and its sins and its warts, right, over time, for a very long time, up until the 1960s, very much believed you needed a virtuous citizenry, good citizens, right? People who voted, who volunteered in their community, who cared about their fellow person. And there were blind spots, but they were very worried, the people who framed the Constitution that the conservatives claimed to care about and believe in, were very worried where we're going to get that kind of democratic public that actually would where people would be good citizens and do their duty. Since the 60s, their goal has been to undermine and destroy that civic virtue, as that's the term that used to be used for it, that philosophers would use, because it got in the way of their demand for power and money. And they've succeeded in taking most of the gains of the last half century, the last 50 years, going to the top of the economic pyramid. And there seems to be no limit to how much more money they can get, even though they can't spend it all. They have intergenerational wealth. And the consequences, things like the north side of Milwaukee that went from a prosperous place with plentiful manufacturing jobs to a bit desperately poor, segregated community because they took all the money and the resources and rigged things for them.
Right.
So that has been the project. And what's interesting is I heard a commentator, a scholar, talking about the scandals in like we have the George Santos scandal and the like, right, and what the scandals around Donald Trump. And she pointed out the interesting thing about politics right now is that having a scandal like that, a scandal where you are completely unqualified or a hypocrite or a liar, right, or committed, you know, things, offenses that no one should tolerate, that gets you drummed out of Democratic politics, but it is not a bar in Republican politics. And that's what you've seen with Trump. That's deliberate conspiracy. They want to create a public that would be so red hot revved up by the stuff Governor DeSantis does on a weekly basis that they wouldn't see that or care about that anymore, and they succeeded. And that's a danger to democracy. So we've created a cancer in the middle of democracy, and not we haven't done it. The most powerful people, the elites in this country, have done it for their own benefit.
So, Dr. Craig, do you believe that what it's going to take is a younger electorate, if you will, those who come after the baby boomers, Generation X's, the millennials? They're not going to clearly settle for this inequity that they see that is impacting and affecting their futures. Is that what is going to take, Dr. Craig, you think, the push back to turn this around? Because I don't see you and my generation able to do that.
And that's the promise of younger generations always, right?
You're right.
They create an opportunity. The millennial generation and the Generation Z are the most progressive in a very, very long time, partly because they're reacting to what they've grown up with, right? They're reacting to the fact that the previous generation benefited from highly affordable college to get ahead and to have good careers, and then they pulled the rug up, right, the ladder up. And they said, well, we're going to make it so that you have to go into massive crippling debt to go to college because we're going to take the money and we're going to put it somewhere else in the giant tax cuts for wealthy people or the things like mass incarceration, for example. So we have that. It's an opportunity. It doesn't guarantee that we overcome this. I mean, the great opportunity of the generation in the 60s was lost, essentially, for a lot of reasons, and led to the era of Ronald Reagan, remember.
Right.
So, but it's an opportunity. It depends how we do it, if we do it smart. And we have to do it. We have a climate deadline, Earl. We have to cut greenhouse gas emissions almost in half by 2030. And so we need to win soon, which means that the people are on the right side, the coalition within the Democratic Party, which is a big tent coalition between moderate people who are not fascists and aren't on for the MAGA agenda, and progressives. It's a coalition, really. We need to be really smart and to do this well, because these kind of turning points, like the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, these will determine whether we can rebuild democracy or whether we lose it. And think about it. We lose the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, right? And then, in addition, the U.S. Supreme Court let state legislators decide who a state's electors are in presidential election rather than the public. Then the gerrymandered Wisconsin legislature may pick the president of the United States regardless of how the people of Wisconsin voted. That was the conspiracy Trump attempted to do in 2020, which is really a dry run. So if you have a real state Supreme Court, that is much less likely to happen, because you would have probably have fairer maps. In addition, they could weigh in against a rogue legislature trying to name the presidential electors for Wisconsin over what the public really voted
for. You know, Dr. Craig, you talked about reducing the greenhouse gases by 2030. That's just around the corner. And yet, I don't know if we have enough Americans who really believe that, who are willing to fight hard enough to make sure that we make that happen. I just, for the life of me, Dr. Craig, am frustrated and think that people...
Hold
the thought, Dr. Sorry. Craig. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. We'll be right back.
say is true. This ain't no way it ought to be. If only all the masks could see. But they keep talking about
show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. And I want to repeat a question I was asking Dr. Craig before we went to break, and that's 7 years, the twinkling of an eye, and the gas, the emissions that need to be changed before we apparently cannot turn this around. And Dr. Craig, it appears to me that as much as it's been talked about, that we've got people who still don't believe it, far too many of us, and who don't realize that this is not fool's gold that you and others are talking about with the climate change. It's real.
So we are winning that debate, Earl, but too slowly. There was a deliberate conspiracy by fossil fuel interests, big utilities, to convince the public that there was no climate crisis when we've known that there was one since the late 1980s with scientific certainty. And if we'd started then, or started 10 years later than that, or even, you know, 20 years later than that, this would have been much easier. Instead, we've let go to a deadline because it was in the interest of big, greedy corporations. And, of course, they are set up to produce wealth for wealthy people, right, for shareholders, CEOs, top executives.
Right.
The billionaires got their wealth out of corporations. The Republican Party is the only conservative party in the advanced industrial world that denies climate change. So that's why, right? Flat out corruption. But a poll by UW Madison that was not a political poll, really dug deeper into public opinion, found that climate change was the top concern of the Wisconsin public last year. The problem is, it hasn't been made by elected leaders and by all the ads the kind of voting issue that would give them a clear choice, where they understood, here's the side that'll do something about it and actually address the challenge, and here's the one that's against it. That's just not on the public mind. We call it electoralizing an issue. And, you know, Governor Evers, we're in a necessary alliance with him. I'm from the more Citizen Action Wisconsin, the organization I lead, on the more progressive side of the spectrum. But we all need to stand together. People would believe in democracy. But where I disagree with Governor Evers is, not only does he not believe in making these clear kind of distinctions, he actually has not proposed. He's the first governor, to his credit, to actually propose major action on the climate crisis. Okay, so he's given credit for that. He's not proposed a plan to meet the deadline goal we need by 2030. And I think that's necessity. I respectfully disagree with his approach to this. That is a necessity for a democracy, is for the public to be told, right, here is what would achieve what we need to achieve. Otherwise, how does the public make decisions? So this is part of the threat to democracy, is even the willingness of Democrats to try to put everything in a way that is popular in polling helps them get elected. And Governor Evers' electoral success is undeniable. But that's not enough. Electing Governor Evers is not enough if we have runaway climate change. It needs And it's part of what needs to happen, because a Governor Michaels would have moved us in a fossil fuel direction and been devastating. But I think that we need Governor. And I think if the elected officials won't lead, the public needs to lead, which means people need to get involved in organizations, in social justice, in the organizations, the environmental groups that are pushing for real action, like CIS and Action Wisconsin on the climate crisis.
You know, Dr. Craig, there's always hope, and it's one of the reasons why it's always so good to have you on these airways, because, you know, if people didn't know that there were people like you and Citizen Action and other groups all over the nation that are really pushing back and fighting. Clearly, we don't see you outwardly, but we know you are there, some of us, and that you and others are not going to ever give up on this. And you kind of are like a gnat taking on an elephant at times, but if the gnats get in the ears or in the trunk of the elephant, you can start making some headway. Do you feel like that's happening?
Yeah, there'll be a breakthrough soon. I can point out on your show, we were part at Citizen Action Wisconsin, myself and Raphael Smith, our climate equity director, you know, working with Ashanti Hamilton, the then Milwaukee Common Council president and then county supervisor, now state representative, Supreme Moore Mukunde, on a climate and economic equity task force for the city and county of Milwaukee. Well, after over 3 years, it'll come out with its final report to the city and county in the spring and deliver them a very bold climate plan that would meet the climate targets, but also would dramatically improve economic opportunity for all the people that are locked out and open up the growing green economy to the people who don't have access to good jobs now, all the marginalized folks, that working class folks, and especially, but not exclusively, people of color, because they have the most dire economic circumstances in our area. So there'll be a plan, and it'll go before the city council this spring and the mayor. And so that's a start, and that took, you know, a huge amount of organizing and plan writing. And I will tell you that the city's sustainability department, it's called ECO, the Office of Environmental Collaboration, has been a great partner on developing this plan. So there are some silver linings, but now we have to organize behind the plan to make sure it gets adopted. And let's face it, Earl, President Biden just made the biggest climate investment in American history in the Inflation Reduction Act and the bipartisanship bill. And the question is, how much of that money will the state of Wisconsin and the city of Milwaukee claim in order to do our climate transition and do it in a way that also dramatically improves economic opportunity?
So Dr. Craig, one request before we go. Can you do anything to hold back the 5 to 10 inches of snow that's on the way?
Well, that's living in Wisconsin. I do notice it gets cold, so it freezes over, but then it gets warm by Sunday. So, I don't know. People who want to ski or snowshoe, enjoy. I'm going to try to snowshoe, Earl. So, right. You got to make the best of it.
Hey, Dr. Craig, thank you very much, as always. We got to go. Thank everybody who made the show go. My guest tomorrow, Professor Bob Harvey and Judge Mitchell. See you later.